1 week done, second week done. Welcome to week two action here at the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game, and to my right, once again helping me bring the action to you, Chris and Weasel, here to bring a handful of games. We have we are missing the Giants this week because they're playing Monday night. You know, they'll probably be playing right after we finish this recording.
I don't know if we're missing them.
But, right. Well, here's the thing. I didn't hear a lot of hype about that Giants-Saints matchup taking place tonight because people were, you know, blogging MASH unit for all the injuries and getting shows about Alan Alda that were, like, in the 80s and stuff. And so it was tough for people to find the game and the times. Anyways, so with that, let's go ahead and get underway. Speaking of teams that required MASH units, holy goodness, somebody got pissed last week, kind of like we all said they would, in their game against the Seattle Seahawks. Weasel, bring it in.
The Steelers bounced back from last week's loss to the Ravens with a 24-0 shutout at home over the Seahawks. For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 22 of 30, 73%, 298 yards, one touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked twice. In the mid-second quarter, he got hit low after completing a pass and was out of a few plays with a knee injury.
I was very, very happy to see that flag, by the way. That was a prime example of a thoroughly dirty hit. He had no contact that forced him to go low. He did a spin on the O-lineman, got inside, and then dove at Ben. Thoroughly flaggable, absolutely the correct call. Go ahead, Weasel.
And he was out for two plays, but thankfully returned.
Well, Charlie Batch has done well in the past.
He's all right, but you know.
It's the Seahawks, man.
It's the Seahawks.
Dude, you play for the Seahawks.
Wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders had a 15-yard completion. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall had 19 rushes for 66 yards, 3.5 average with a touchdown. Isaac Redman had 10 for 49, 4.9 average with a touchdown. And Big Ben had 5 scrambles for 8 yards.
Really quick, not to waste too much time on this game since it's 24-0, but something I want to ask. Did it look to you like the extra verse pass, or was it some amalgam or some variation on that?
It wasn't as fluid as the extra verse.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And that goes. What was it? Heinz Ward caught that.
Yeah. Well,
that was all Heinz
same.
Ward.
Yeah.
On that pass.
Well, it wasn't a terrible pass.
No, he was covered.
He was covered pretty good. The ball was in a pretty good spot. I'll give Emmanuel Sanders credit because the defender was fully outstretched and still couldn't quite reach. It was a good placement, but you know, as Weasel very adequately put it, wasn't quite as fluid as the extra verse pass that got Heinz Ward the Super Bowl MVP. Last time he played the Seahawks, back those 2 years ago,
he was under pressure too, Sanders.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think in the reverse passes, they usually have good blocking for those, and
or they're more fooled.
Yeah,
little both.
So
and he did get hit when he passed the ball.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
That's also a good point. Yeah, I forgot about that.
In the receiving game, Mike Wallace had 8 catches for 126 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Brown had 4 for 67, and Emmanuel Sanders had 2 for 44. For the Seahawks, Tarvaris Jackson. 2-year, $8 million contract. Wow.
Money well spent.
20 of 29, 69%. All right.
All right. We can go. We're spending too.
159 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 5 times. The Seahawks offense didn't pass the 50-yard line until the mid-fourth quarter.
Production! $8 million worth of production!
Now, in the rushing game, Jackson led the way with 3 scrambles for 12 yards. Marshawn Lynch and Justin Forsett combined had 9 for 21, 2.3 average.
Epic. I believe what I have here, and you can correct me if I got it wrong, Weasel, I believe the Seahawks' entire team combined for 14 carries for, is that 31 yards? An epic 2.2 a carry.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
For the Seahawks, Ben Abunahu had 4 catches for 35 yards, and rookie wide receiver...
It's another one of those tough names we have.
Yeah,
I like
is.
That. Good
it
job.
Is. And Chris Durham had 3 for 30. That's it for that game.
Well done. And I will be fair. Weasel and I are having fun. There's a little bit of homerism from both of us here. You know, one of Weasel's teams, the Steelers, kicked butt. A rival of one of my teams who lost. Because Romo decided not to choke this week in overtime. It's the Cowboys top of the 49ers. So I'm happy to mock the Seahawks. I am kind of kicking the retarded kid in the wheelchair on this one because the Seahawks are that bad. But enough about kicking retarded children in wheelchairs, unless we're talking about the Chicago Bears offensive line. Chris, tell us about that game.
Well, the Bears looked like they were going for seconds after their week one win. and went to a 7-3 win until Drew Brees took over and hit Devery Henderson on a 79-yard strike and never looked back after that and won 30-13. Jay Cutler was 19 for 45, 42% for 244 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. He did fumble the ball once, and he was sacked 6 times due to not having 2 offensive guards.
There's a pretty gaping hole in the interior line.
Got a center and 2 tackles, and that's it. For the Saints, Drew Brees was 26 for 37, 70%, 270 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked once. For the Bears on the ground, Matt Forte, 49 yards on 10 carries, 4.9 average. He did have a long of 42, so that brings it down to 0.78%.
I hope you were going to catch that the other 9 carries were good for a total of 7 yards.
Yes. For the Saints, rookie Mark Ingram, 14 for 51, 3.6 a carry. He also had a fumble. Pierre Thomas, 9 for 41, and Darren Sproles, 4 for 17.
Points for Chris, but I think he was on your bench this week.
Yeah, it was only 4 points, so that doesn't matter. Right. And through the air, Matt Forte led all Bears receivers once again. 10 catches, 117 yards.
Absolutely stupid. That's amazing.
Johnny Knox got the start for injured Roy Williams. Had 2 catches for 45 yards. And wide receiver rookie out of Ohio State, Dan Sanzenbacher, 3 catches, 33 yards with a touchdown.
Wait, so check that real quick. Was he listed as a tight end or a receiver?
He was listed as a receiver. Was on there, yeah. Receiver? I looked it up. Because I was going to put him as a tight end, but...
I was going to make a comment about him being Greg Olsen's replacement, but apparently not. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, and, at Ohio State, right.
And our new favorite on the show, Matt Spaeth.
Matt Spaeth!
0 catches, though.
Still love your ball.
Oh, Matt Spaeth.
Well.
And through the air for the Saints, Devery Henderson had 3 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Tight end Jimmy Graham at 6 for 79. And running back Darren Sproles had 8 for 43 with a touchdown. The Bears had only 60 yards rushing against the Saints this week.
Combined. With Forte.
Yeah, the Bears were missing 2 starting guards. Like I said, Roy Williams didn't play due to an injury, and Earl Bennett left the game injured as well.
So 60 yards rushing, and that means on one run by Forte, he had more than 2/3 of it on that 42-yard run.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. And by awesome, I mean for the Saints.
And I got a trivia question for you guys real quick.
Uh-oh, pop quiz!
Yes. Snap.
Brees, after that hit, that 79-yard strike with Devery Henderson, made it 29 straight games with a touchdown.
Oh.
It puts him 3rd overall.
Is this among quarterbacks?
Among quarterbacks.
Yeah, about to say. Because Jerry Rice had a streak for a while there, too, but I don't know that they'd have him by the same rules. It would be receiving versus passing.
All right. Who... He's 3rd. Who are the top 2 of them?
Oh, boy, that's tough. I'm going to say Brady's 1 of them.
Nope.
No? No, not Brady?
Nope.
Elway.
Nope.
No, that's too obvious. Oh, goodness. Is he anybody currently playing? Is it anybody currently playing?
Close. It was Dan Marino is at 30. Brees is at 29, so he can tie his record next week. And then Favre has the record for 36 consecutive games with a touchdown pass.
Wow. That made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. Yeah. How many interceptions did he have? How many games are on the average?
Yeah, consecutive interceptions. They don't have that stat, or at least I didn't find that stat. If you're still playing, maybe we can probably find that out with Eli might be getting close to that one. So.
Yeah, the rate he's going. We'll find out more tonight if he could overcome the ailing Rams. But speaking of teams who are ailing or people who are getting a little less love, the Bears got a little less love. But famed kicker in Miami, Dan Carpenter, got a little less love being a crucial force in the loss to the Houston Texans, where they lost 23-13. Matt Schaub got pretty hot in this game, going 21 for 29, 72%. Sorry, it wasn't 69, I believe, but my bad. And 230 yards, 2 touchdowns. Chad Henne having a less than stellar performance himself under a lot of duress, going 12 for 30, 40%, 170 yards with a touchdown and an interception. The Aryan Nation was still kept to rest as Arian Foster had 10 for 33 coming back from the anti-awesomeness of a pulled hamstring. But Ben Tate continuing to be a factor. 23 carries, 103 yards, 4.4, excuse me, 5 yards a carry. I can't read my writing. The rookie Dan Thomas, 18 carries. 107 yards, 5.9 carry. did have a lost fumble, but Chad Henne had 3 carries himself for 26. Gentlemen, what do you guys think of Chad Henne running the football? It weirds me out. I'm going to be just perfectly honest with you.
Because he's white?
No, it has nothing to do with he's white. He's big, and I don't think he's ever cracked a smile. So, you know, I can't use the Hines Ward defense for why he'd be crazy enough to run. So, I got nothing.
Yeah, he's actually in week one, and he had 20-something yards rushing as well,
particularly important.
Actually, I think a little higher.
Fourth quarter. Yeah.
A little higher than that.
So...
But, you know, they're trying to do this, like, a little run and shoot or something with the Dolphins. I mean, it's working with them running. I've been saying all the time, you got to run the ball more. So, even with the running backs or even the quarterback, keep
them
honest.
Maybe he's trying to give Sperano a subtle hit. Hey, maybe we should do this more. I didn't think of that. Maybe I should be more behind that then. Brandon Marshall, the top receiver for the Finns, going 6 catches for 7 yards with a touchdown. Top receiver of the game, of course, Andre Johnson, 7 catches, 93 yards. With a touchdown of his own. But the biggest factor for me, 2 turnovers by the Dolphins, 0 for the Texans, 2 missed field goals by Dan Carpenter. One of them pulled wide left with about a 30-something yarder, and another one blocked because he kicked it too low. You guys have anything else on that?
The missed field goal right before it was a dropped pass by Brandon Marshall in the end zone. Right before that as well.
So, all sorts of inhaling. You guys, I saw you had another
one. Oh, no, I was going to say go to week one for the New England Dolphins game, see how much Chad Henne was running.
Oh, I can look that up.
But it doesn't matter too much. We're already past that, so okay. We just keep on moving.
Fair enough. Well, keeping on moving is something that this year's Madden cover has a theme for, and he thoroughly kept on moving through the Colts defense as the Browns prevailed 27-19. Of course, yeah, Peyton Manning's still missing, but a different Peyton took this game over, Peyton Hillis. That's right, this year's cover. I don't know if I'm jinxing him by saying that because of the curse, but he's faking it for now anyway.
You start calling him Guns, too.
I mean, I could be.
Hockley's is Guns 1, so let's just call him Guns 2.
So, like, if Hockley and Hillis were in, a bar brawl, would they call that a shootout because all the guns would be blazing? I'm just throwing that out there. No? Okay. Anyways, I thought it was creative. Anyway. Quarterback Colt McCoy for the Browns went 22 of 32, 69%.
All right.
211 yards with a touchdown. Kerry Collins lost a fumble. Chris, brace yourself. It's a surprise.
Oh, my God. He's still carrying it like a loaf of bread.
Also lost an interception. That'll make you feel better about that. Had a touchdown on his 19th to 38 day where he went 50% for 191 yards. Epic number.
See, I just came to the conclusion that he's a betting man. He always bets against himself.
It's probably a smart move fiscally, at the very least. Joseph Addai had 14 carries for 64 yards, about 4.6 a carry. Delonte Carter, the rookie, had 11 carries for 46 himself at 4.2. Leading receivers, Reggie Wayne was a factor with 4 catches for 66 yards. Dallas Clark did have a touchdown. Did have a touchdown on the day on his 4 catch for 32-yard day. And Joseph Addai contributing some more all-purpose yards with 4 catches and 37 yards of his own. The big difference maker here, in addition to Mohamed Massacoit being the top receiver for the Browns, having 3 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown by Earl Moore. Is that a tight end? Let me look real quick. Yeah, it is a tight end. Evan Moore. See, I knew I had something wrong there. Evan Moore, the tight end. Out of Stanford in his third season, caught the touchdown in the air for the Browns. Peyton Hillis did lose a fumble, 27 carries, 94 yards, kind of a big deal, scoring 2 touchdowns. You know, I'll say this, the Browns won this game because this year the Colts are the Colts. I'm not sold on their defense. Now, granted, they are playing against an excellent receiver core, but goodness gracious, Kerry Collins threw like he did on you after he threw like he did against the Texans. Maybe he's getting the offense better. I don't know. But I was talking to somebody at work today, and they reminded me that Dallas Clark once confirmed. Dallas Clark!
Yeah.
The great Dallas Clark, a favorite of the show, took 3 years to grasp this offense. Now, Kerry Collins has been on this team for about 3 weeks as opposed to 3 years. And Dallas Clark says he's got a grasp of this offense.
The offense is with Peyton Manning. So this offense, Kerry Collins, I'm sure they dumb it down and and stuff like that.
That's an interesting point. That's a good point, Weasel.
And dumb it down. Run left. Run right. Hold on to the ball, Collins.
Throw ball far. Shout, blow the whistle here. No, but I mean, for me, the thing I found the most interesting is both teams had a third down conversion percentage of 25%, going 3 for 12, pretty much. Actually, no, I got that wrong. I'm way wrong on that, actually.
You're looking at the next game.
I am looking at the next game. Goodness gracious almighty. Thank you, Chris, for saving me from my incentive. Somebody did it! No, the Browns completely outperformed them on offense. Not that the Colts did bad at 4-14 for 28%. 16 third downs, 8 converted, 50% third down percentage. They were just basically drilled away by Peyton Hillis in positive running effort. Good times.
I was going to say, me too. I got a game that had 25% also.
Statistical anomaly.
Sweet.
No, but speaking of things that were statistical anomalies, nah, actually, they just sucked. Weasel, the Jags, and the Jets. Chris, the Jags, and the Jets. Go. Oh.
I thought it was the Titans and the Jets. It was the New York Titans. Well, they're throwing, they're going for their throwback jerseys again, the Jets.
You know how I know what women are watching that game? Is I put an ear to the crowd and listen for them to go, those uniforms are ugly! That's how I know women are at the game. Like, my wife, for example, did that when we were watching the Daylight House.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says those jerseys are ugly, but you know what? Since the Jets have been wearing them, they're 5-1. Now. Yeah.
Huh. That's quite sexy.
5-1. So Rex Ryan says, I don't care if they look ugly. We win in them. Because the other team's like, oh, those are ugly. Oh, wait, there they go.
Man, yo, that's the I ain't going to touch that to tackle you. No, okay, you might have some. Hey, whatever. It's winning. Okay.
But all kidding aside, the New York Jets were still fired up from their late come-from-behind rally from week one over the Cowboys.
By comfort behind victory, you mean Tony Romo meltdown, which he didn't have against the 49ers. It's my show. I can do that.
It was still a comeback from behind. But,
yeah, well.
But the Jets flew. See how the Jets flew?
To a
9-0 start in the first 4 minutes and 26 seconds of the game.
Did they pop the Jags tire? See, because that's the kind of car? No. Okay.
Yeah, you know, 9-0. You know, touchdown and a safety. Not the 3 field goals in 4 minutes. They coasted to a 32-3 victory over the Jags. Jags quarterback Luke McGowan was 6 for 19, 31.6%. I'm not rounding up to 32.
You suck. You take that.
For 59 yards, 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Epic!
And he was sacked once.
Oh, Weasel, why is your phone vibrating? Oh, it's David Garrard calling saying, where's my job?
So in comes, in the fourth quarter, rookie Blaine Gabbert out of Missouri. He went 5 for 6, 83% for 52 yards.
All right.
You know, hey, for a rookie, that's not terrible.
He was sacked once, and that one incomplete pass is because he took a shot downfield.
How dare he? Seriously, who do they have for a downfield threat other than Mike Thomas?
Well, the Jags were thinking it was Antonio Cromartie, but I'll get to that later. For the Jets, Mark Sanchez was 17 for 24, 71%, 182 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he also threw 2 picks, and he was sacked once on the ground. Mojo had 18 carries, 88 yards, 4.9 average.
Okay. Yeah, that's busy.
Yeah.
I was about to say, oh, right, but it's Mojo. So yes. It's like Mojo, man. It's got lots of yards, baby. Yeah,
the Jets always hate playing against him because he's so short.
Oh,
dude. A lot of teams do because he's so short. He's like, they're like, where'd he go? Oh, crap, there he goes past me again.
Who threw the bowling ball on the... Oh, Christ. Yeah, no. Why does a bowling ball have a 32 on it? What the hell?
They were talking about it on the game that it was... if he was, like, 6 foot tall, Mojo, if he was 6 foot tall with his body weight now, he'd be 300 pounds running like that.
He would be an MMA fighter. He'd be making Brock Lesnar cry. I'm just saying.
And running back Deji Kareem for the Jags was 6 for 15. For the Jets, Sean Green, 16 carries, 49 yards, 3.1 a carry with
That's
a touchdown.
Yeah.
Sanchez had 3 scrambles for 29 yards. Joe McKnight, 6 for 14. And LT only had 6 for 8, 1.3 a carry.
You know, I noticed that too. And it's when they use one, they shy from the other. It's very weird.
Yeah, but also, every time LT got the ball, he was getting hit in the backfield, so...
And he's old, so yeah.
Through the air, Mike Thomas led with three catches, 29 yards.
Epic.
Tight end, the other Zach Miller, 3 for 28. Mojo had 3 for 19. For the Jets, Dustin Keller had 6 for 101 yards with a touchdown. And Santonio Holmes had 3 for 42 with a touchdown. And as I said before, Antonio Cromartie, he was all over the field. He had 2 interceptions. He had 1 rush for 1 yard, and he had 2 kick returns for 85 yards.
Damn. And the circumstances of that rush, was that like in the red zone? I
have no idea. Somehow I missed it. I just looked at the stat. He had 1 rush for 1 yard. Yeah, they put him on offense.
I read about that too. I'm like, holy crap, you know. So
I think it was an end around.
Yeah, apparently he's trying to make up for that rough game he had against the Cowboys the other day. That just, I mean, people were all like tearing his technique here was, and if he had just stepped like one step this direction, the dual possession he had with Miles Austin would have been different. Dude, no. Cromartie is better than advertised. Of course, we'll see if there's a curse for defensive players who play offense. Brad Smith was a receiver before he got shipped to Buffalo, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. No, like you said, third downs, they were both 25%. Basically, stat-wise, they're about the same.
So was my game!
But the stat-wise, they're about the same, but when you turn the ball over 4 times, you're in the red zone, you don't have to get that many yards as well either. So.
Spoken like a true prodigy, my friend. Well, for this next game, it's rather convenient that the night of the recording happens to be International Talk Like a Pirate Day. And arr, did the Pirates prevail as the Buccaneers took on the Vikings. Weasel, why don't you be telling me about this game?
Arr, everything looked great for the Vikings at halftime when they were up 17-0 at home against the Bucks. Well, the Bucks came back and won with a last-minute touchdown, defeating the Vikings 24-20.
Arr, that'd be an epic fail, sir.
For the Vikings, Donovan McNabb, 18 of 30, 60%, 228 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs, sacked twice. In the running game, Adrian Peterson, 25 rushes for 120 yards, 4.8 average with 2 touchdowns. Toby Gerhardt had 2 for 36 with a long run of 31 yards.
Tober. Your name, Tober.
Tober.
I don't know why that's fun.
Percy Harvin had 2 for 18, and McNabb had 4 scrambles for 12 yards.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. The dramatic improvement of Donovan McNabb. What is that, 190-ish yards of improvement? Yeah. Oh, no, 129, my bad. But, dude, step it up!
Yeah. For the Vikings, Percy Harvin had 7 catches for 76 yards. Gerhardt had a 42-yard reception. Michael Jenkins had 3 for 29. And tight end Bashanti Shankle had 3 for 28. For the Bucks, Josh Freeman was 22 of 31, 7...
Just 22 of 31.
71%. 243 yards.
I got you, dog.
1 touchdown. 1 INT. He was sacked twice. In the running game, LeGarrette Blount had 13 rushes for 71 yards, 5.5 average with 2 touchdowns. Ernest Graham had 3 for 18. And Freeman had 3 scrambles for 16 yards. In the receiving game, Preston Parker. 6 catches for 98 yards.
Pretty new name, huh?
It's a wide receiver from Florida State, I think.
North Alabama.
Close, yeah.
Tight end. I didn't know either. It's okay.
Kel Winslow.
North Alabama. It's about the same.
Yeah, Southern Georgia is pretty close to North Alabama.
A soldier had 4 for 44.
Kellen Winslow, the damn soldier. That's right. Well done, Weasel. I forgot about that.
Desmond Briscoe had 4 for 42. And Aurelius Ben had a 25-yard touchdown reception. Now, Tampa Bay got the ball in their own 39-yard line with 4:12 remaining in the game, down 20-17. Freeman drove his team downfield to the 4-yard line, and LeGarrette Blount ran it in for the game-winning touchdown with only 35 seconds left. An interesting fact is that Freeman's 3-year career with 31 starts, he has 8 fourth-quarter comebacks, which in that time frame is one more than Peyton Manning.
Damn. Well done, Weasel. Okay. So, yeah, I'm still a believer in Freeman, don't get me wrong, but this was, no offense, Weasel, I know it's your team. I think this was more a Vikings loss than it was a Bucks win. I mean, RMAT, you'd be having us on the plank with a 17-0 lead, and then you'd be saying, don't be jumping in the ocean. Yeah, no.
Come have some rum, punch.
Come have some rum. And then the Bucks go, why is the rum gone? We'll just take yours. And then they win the game, and it's just, I'm sure you have some concept of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of people who are going, ah!
Damn scallywags.
I think we'll cease the pirate talk. Well, at least the Caribbean pirate talk. There's a different kind of pirate in this game, and the quarterbacks in Philip Rivers taking on Tom Brady as we bring up the Chargers versus the Patriots.
A couple of butt pirates, huh?
I was trying to be subtle. Speaking of things I'm not subtle about, Philip the Fraud Rivers fumbled the ball away, had two interceptions, was three of the four turnovers for the Chargers on the day, as he went 29 for 40, 66%, sorry, Weasel, 378 yards and two touchdowns. More on that later. Tom Brady went 31 of 40, 78%, 423 yards with three touchdowns of his own. On the ground for the Chargers, Ryan Matthews had 12 carries for 64 yards and a touchdown, leading the effort. And, of course, the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, 17 carries, 70 yards with a touchdown. Something that hasn't happened in a while, and I don't have a fancy stat on how many times in a row that this has ever happened. One very special tight end, Antonio Gates, zero catches. However, Vincent Jackson, V-Jack, went 10 catches, 172 yards, two touchdowns. Feel thankful you're not playing him on your fantasy team, and if you were, I'm terribly sorry. Mike Tolbert had two catches for 72 yards and a very crucial fumble. More on that later. Anaka Foy had two catches for 59 yards of his own. Deion Branch, leading in yards for his team, had eight catches and 129 yards for the Patriots. Tight end Ron Gronkowski had four catches for 86 yards and two touchdowns. Wes Welker had seven catches for 81 yards. And Aaron Hernandez, seven catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. The other tight end for the Patriots did suffer an injury. Not sure if we're going to see him next week or not. We'll have more on that.
No, they said he's out 1 to 2 weeks with a sprained ACL.
So that's a negative.
Okay. Hernandez.
And, of course, just to mention it, Chad Ochocinco had two catches for 45 yards. So that means he's 3 for 57. That's better than a lot of receivers on the year so far. And everyone's all like, oh, he can't participate. So one of the earlier two catches for the Patriots were, hey, Teddy Bruschi, suck it. You know, Tom Brady even went on his radio show and said, hey, look, I love you guys, and you guys were great when you played for the Patriots, and y'all are my buddies. Wink. I'm being subtle. Don't say it out loud. But you don't know anything about the 2011 Patriots locker room. And as much fun as I make of Justin Bieber, I mean Tom Brady, I really respected that he said that. What were you going to say, Chris?
Yeah, I was about to say, he's moving on up. He had one catch first week, two this week. Maybe he'll get three this week.
And more than three
production.
Times the yards. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
He's producing now.
Speaking of production, the Chargers flirted with some production, having 10 for 12 on third down conversions, 83%. Gentlemen, the final score of this game was 35-21. Four turnovers I gave you, three by Rivers, one by Tolbert, and they only lost by two touchdowns. Does anybody else see what I see here? Crappy defense by the Patriots. Now, granted, their linebackers, they still have Adalius Thomas. Somebody look that up for me. But their star linebacker, Jaron Mayo, probably knocked that down. That's all good and well. Brandon Merriweather is no more in that franchise, and their defensive line isn't what it used to be, and, you know, their corners ain't been worth anything since they've had Asante.
But they got Wang Chung.
Well, I'm sure they could have fun tonight now, but that doesn't mean they could cover him, buddy.
Don't see him in there. Jared Mayo.
What is this? They still got Merriweather as a starting strong safety for him on this website. NFL.com.
NFL.com. There you go.
I'm not the source for the Oh, really? No, but a big turning point for this game was that the Chargers were indeed stopped.
Sorry, he clicked on it. On the Patriots, they brought up his picture with the Bears logo behind him.
Oh, wonderful. Good job, NFL.com. No, but
someone's fired.
But there was a stop on fourth and goal. See, I gotta blame NFL.com for this auto accident in the show. I mean, you think they at least have the guy on the right damn team for the depth chart? Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chargers did have a fourth and goal that was denied as they turned it over on downs, so that might have made it 35-28, but beyond that, really the inferiority of the Chargers is made to stand here. Tom Brady's going to have to win it for the Patriots every week. And here's the thing, gentlemen. Mark this. If they play the Lions again, the Lions have a very real chance of beating the Patriots a second time. I'm not going to be anything bold and call and say it's going to happen for show. But preseason it occurred. Now, what do we know about the preseason, especially according to Dennis Green, if you remember your tirade versus the Bears back in the day when he was still the Cardinal coach? The preseason, the third game of the preseason, they play like it's BS? No, that's when all the starters hit the field. Now, gentlemen, what was the Patriots' third preseason game?
The Lions.
Now what happened against the Lions and the Patriots in the preseason? They
Stafford,
got beaten down.
Stafford picked them apart.
Well, that, and on defense, Justin Bieber was made quite a bit uncomfortable by one very angry big man in Ndamukong Suh. I'm not going to call him fat because I don't want him to, on the outside chance he might come to try to find me.
And he's their backup kicker, too.
Indeed he is. Good point. By then, they'll also have Nate McFarley back if they play again. I believe they're on the schedule. And, of course, Van de Bosch is still a factor. So the point is, a prerequisite to beating Brady is a good defensive line. If you don't have that, he's going to tear you apart.
Yep.
If you do, hint, Giants fans, there might be a chance.
Hence, Gents last year in the playoffs.
Also an excellent point. So that'll wrap up our coverage of the games. We did cite earlier about Blaine Gabbert coming in and seeing time for the Jags. At current, Jack Del Rio is not revealing who's starting the game, and since there's so much time between our podcasts wrapping up the weeks and the week following, this will make a very interesting pop quiz. So the pop quiz is thus: Blaine Gabbert, the prettiest quarterback in the league right now, is he gonna, well, second prettiest to Tom Brady. You're right, Weasel, thank you for correcting me. But will he start next week, Weasel?
I think so, yeah.
Chris?
I don't think so. I think he should, but I don't think he is, because I think Jack Del Rio might have a man crush on Luke McGowan or something from when Luke McGowan was third on the depth chart and automatically jumped Blaine Gabbert to go first when they released David Garrard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might stick with him, but I'd say, if you know, I like Gabbert in preseason.
Oh,
he's got a good arm. I mean, he was 5 for 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only incomplete pass was the one shot he took downfield, and the closest receiver was Antonio Cromartie. but at least he took the chance. McGowan, I don't think, went further than, like, 15 yards down the
right.
field.
Right, and when you have an offense like the Jags, you got to do something to stretch it out and give Mojo some room. That all being said, I'm going to side with Weasel. I think they will start him. You're right. Del Rio apparently does not enjoy starting a young quarterback, and I get that. Here's the thing, though. 4 interceptions. Ownership pressure, because I'm sure the owner of the Jags will have something to say, and Blaine Gabbert will go in his office and give him those dreamy eyes and go, "But coach, don't you want to start me? Wink, wink." So, and then he'll just be irresistible. No? Okay.
I just lost a lot of respect for Blaine Gabbert that way.
Hey, if you wanted to start that bad, no.
I was saying Blaine Gabbert is one of the top quarterbacks coming out of this draft this year. You know, he should have been number one.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I thought so. How well he's produced. Wow. Since Andrew Luck didn't come out this year,
mm-hmm.
Blaine Gabbert was the top.
Which leads me to my next pop quiz. The Carolina Panthers did pretty good, and as the defending Super Bowl champs, gave up 381 passing yards to one Cam Newton.
He's number two in the league now.
Over 400.
They gave up over
400? Over 400. 435.
Oh, my goodness, and I'm crazy. He's, 83-81 was first week. But
he had, no, Cam Newton's had two games. He's had over 400 yards passing both of the first two games of his
okay.
career.
So, yeah, the first that's kind of a big deal. So,
yeah, 432.
432, I was close.
Wow.
435.
Here's your pop quiz, gentlemen. Is it time to believe? Weasel.
Yeah.
Chris.
You know, their defense is still weak. I don't know. You know, with the Carolina Panthers, you talk about Carolina Panthers as a whole, or
Cam Newton, right?
Cam Newton himself.
Uh-huh. I will split the distance and go cautiously optimistic, because Chris is exactly right. He's not played a quote-unquote real defense. Nick Collins is currently out for the Packers for the year, and they are short. I can't remember his name. It's not Terrence Newman, is it? No, it's not. I will get that. But can you get that corner? Can you get the corners for the Packers for me. Charles Woodson picked him off on one where there was an excellent pass rush and a poor blocking job, and he was rolling out and got picked off. He gave up three picks. He has four picks in two games. It's kind of a problem. Or is it five? It's five picks in two games. That's kind of a problem, but how many picks did Peyton Manning have his first year in 98?
Oh, we had a lot.
29, 28, something like that. Basically very Favrean, you know. But as far as that, they were, suffice it to say, the Packers without their star corners, they're down Nick Collins.
And Tremont Williams.
Tremont Williams, that's right.
Tremont Williams, there we go.
Yeah. Well, you got to realize is the is, you know, these first two teams haven't had really any game film to start Cam Newton, which I don't understand.
Right,
yeah, preseason, but they could have just pulled the national championship game where he wasn't that great against Oregon.
Right.
You know, Oregon kind of stuffed him. That's all you got to do the game plan.
But again, if you don't have pressure. That's the part that where Cam Newton did struggle in that game is that there was pressure brought on him. Clay Matthews showed him that a linebacker actually knows how to run, you know, in the NFL. And I think he just kind of evolved to that as the game went on. Anyways, enough about that. Let's go ahead and get the study hall underway. How are we looking so far, Chris, this week? Because tonight we have one more game that's on there. But I believe at least two of us are looking pretty solid. What we got?
Yeah, me and you are both 7-0 for the week, and Weeze is 6-1 since he was a homer and picked the Vikings.
It was good early on.
Hey, it was looking good until the second half.
Feeling the wrath of the pirate. Talk like a pirate day. That's why it happened. That's why you'd be blowing the 17-0 halftime lead.
Overall, I'm 14-2. You're 13-3, and Weasel's 11-5.
Coming back though. Coming back. Just wait.
I was gonna say you're not coming back this week because we all picked the Giants, right?
Yeah. We all picked the Giants. All
right, Chris. Let's run the gamut. Who are we opening with?
All right. 1 p.m. games. Texans at the Saints. 2-0 Texans versus the 1-1 Saints.
Chris,
I'm gonna go with the Saints. I'm going to go, they showed they could play against a good defense. You know, they played against two tough defenses. They picked apart Green Bay.
I was about to say, even though you just called Green Bay a weak defense, but I digress.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, who did they play week one? Oh, yeah, Green Bay. Yeah, they picked apart the Green Bay's defense.
They
picked
tear Chicago to pieces. That's
right.
True.
So, the Texans' mediocre defense, even though with the two new additions that they have back there with Joseph and Manning back there in the backfield.
Daniel
safety.
Manning.
Yes.
Right.
That he's just going to have a field day with them, and they're going to – I got the Saints.
Weasel.
Take the Texans.
Interesting. The Texans are a better opponent on defense and offense, both sides, than they faced yet. I mean, granted, when I say that, I mean the Texans have a better D than the Packers do right now, and they have a better offense than the Bears did. A lot of the contributor for the success for the Saints was the complete lack of an O-line last week this week where, I mean, come on, the Saints' D-line is giving you pressure. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah, they only gave up 60 yards rushing against the Bears.
Come on, dude, Matt Forte for the reals. I mean, again, also, they have a more competent quarterback than Jay Cutler as well. All that being said, if the shootout comes to happen, Schaub is just a touch more mistake prone. I got Saints as well. What's next?
Giants at Eagles.
Chris.
Well, it all depends on Vic, I feel. Vic, mild concussion.
He's not ruled out yet.
He's not ruled out.
Vince Young's probably not going to start with as good as Dave Kafka did in his backup. That's the third stringer for the Eagles, for those of you who don't know.
Right, yeah, because Vince Young was inactive.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking in the preseason about how good he looked.
All right, so, I mean, even that said, you know, Vic plays, it's Eagles. Vic doesn't play, it's a tough one. You know, Giants do have Vic's number, though, but
the
Giants are hurting on defense more this year than they were last year. So, I'm just going to stick with the Eagles there because I don't think of the Giants.
Weasel.
Eagles, I think they got the best backup quarterback situations in the league.
Good call.
So, I'll go with the Eagles.
Whether it be Kafka or Vic, here's what I know. The Giants defense has a lot of injuries on it, and on top of everything else, they have an offense that's not confident in themselves yet. I got the Eagles. Next.
Jags at Panthers.
The Jags facing off against the Panthers is two rookie quarterbacks potentially facing each other, but one of them's kicking ass and the other isn't. I got the Panthers. Chris.
Yeah, I left this game blank. I picked out every other game except for this one.
Oh, snap.
So this one's a tough one. I just... What the Panthers have done the first 2 weeks, yeah, first week was Arizona. I mean, anybody can look good against Arizona.
It's the Cardinals.
Yeah. Anyone can look good against Cardinals, but Green Bay...
That was a different story.
Right, it's a different story. I think we're going to go with the Panthers.
Weasel.
I go with the Panthers.
Pats at Bills. 2-0 versus 2-0.
Oh.
This game is just odd enough to be scary. And we've preached it quite a bit that the Pats don't have a defense. But here's what I know. The Pats have a better defense than both the Raiders and the Chiefs, the Bills' previous two victories. I got the Pats. Weasel.
I'll take the Pats.
I got the Pats as well because Woodhead's going to run all over the... Bills in this one.
So you're trying to say that Woodhead will penetrate the defensive line?
Yes.
Okay.
Fins at the Browns.
This is absolutely retarded tough to pick. The part that makes it interesting is the fact that the Dolphins have won as many away games as they have. I really should have made one of you two pick this game first. I'm just suddenly realizing. Damn it.
I'll pick the game. I'll go first.
No, it's okay. I already got it. But I like how Henny's had confidence lately. The Browns just look a little too unrefined at this point against the Colts. I got a pissed off Dolphins team doing their job. Chris.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the upset with the Fins over the Browns.
Weasel.
I got the Browns. Peyton Hillis will run them over.
Interesting. And that's a very viable theory, too, by the way. This is a tough game to pick.
Lions at Vikes. 2-0 Lions.
Hold it.
Wait a minute. Yeah, 2-0 Lions and the 0-2 Vikes.
Thank you for repeating the 2-0 Lions. I'm going to start with Weasel because I think I know what you and I are picking, Chris.
Yeah, Weasel? I'm picking the Lions.
All across the board. Weasel, I'm proud of you, dog.
Yeah.
Falcons at the Bucks.
Anybody really giving the Bucks a chance in this one? Because they have yet to beat a team over 500.
I was going to, however, the first two games of the season, the Bucks have dropped quickly in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tried coming back against the Lions in the second half, couldn't do it. They came back against the Vikings in the second half, did it. The Falcons, if they get behind in the first half, they're not going to be able to do it. The Falcons offense is too powerful.
The Falcons ain't exactly the Lions or the Vikings, so yeah.
You Falcons too?
Go
with the Bucks.
I'll take the Falcons.
I'm about to say,
yeah.
Picking against the Bucks has burned you twice.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
NFC North showdown: Packers at the Bears.
I'm not gonna waste time. The Bears don't have enough. Packers. And no, not just because my boss is a Packers fan. Chris.
I'm going with the Pack, too. In preseason, I picked the Packers beating the Bears both times.
So, Weasel, your next words will make us figure out whether or not you have a third team on your list.
That doesn't matter about me. Whatever.
Hey, man, he dropped the Vikings twice this year.
That's true.
Let's see.
You may want to think about this one a little bit.
Yeah.
See, talk through it. Like, the Bears... O-line is awful. And Clay Matthews, retarded.
Yeah.
Although they are without Nick Collins at safety, which the long ball is a threat when you're dealing with Cutler.
He's day-to-day.
Oh.
Cutler. Collins.
That's the good news.
His Nick injury is day-to-day.
I'll go with the Packers in it.
Okay.
Sunday night game, Steelers at Colts.
Across the board.
Yeah. Really? Good boy, Weasel. This time your homerism has served you.
I think the Steelers can give him a 20-point head start and still win.
Yeah.
And is that wrap
that's
us
it.
Up?
That's wrap
okay,
us up.
So that's our study hall this week. We'll let you know how everybody did next week, but right now ain't nobody going to be really changing at this point because we all have the Giants for this game. So really, all you're going to find out from this next week is if Chris and I went 8-0 on the pick. 8-0, son! Yeah.
And if we and Wiz can gain two games next week.
Yeah, where did we go different? What two games?
The Texans Saints. We both went Saints. He went Texans. And then the Finns Browns.
Yeah.
He went Browns.
Did
we went Finns.
Did you and I match every game?
Yes,
again. Damn it.
I'm telling you.
I'm not going to gain any ground this way. Chris, stop being smart. This is BS.
Hey, it's only one game.
I know.
There's 15 more weeks.
15 more weeks? Yeah, I know. We'll just let Weasel get really behind, and then we'll just battle it out. Of course, last time that happened, he picked, like, a perfect game when we had 500 or something stupid, but...
It's because I was going for all upsets that one week.
Yeah, that was that worked really well for you, didn't it? Anyways, so apparently, while Chris has learned his lesson, let me give you a quick lesson on where you can find us at www.thestudentofthegame.com. You can always subscribe to us on iTunes, shoot us a comment on the webpage that I just gave you, perhaps email us at vsotg@gmail.com, or... Follow us on Twitter at VSOTG. You'll get all the updates, and I'll throw a few things out there on during the week when I see some big news and give you my weigh-ins on some things. And otherwise, your ignorance will left you knocked out, like, really, let's call it what it is, Tom Brady against Ndamukong Suh. Yeah, I like that. Justin Bieber getting beat up. Word. And with that, class dismissed. See you week 3.